Thank you. This is a prop. These are for me. I don't make it through many preachers without crying. Well, if this is my last one, yeah, I'm going to make it a good one. It's part preach, it's part exhortation and stuff that's burning in my heart and personal challenge that I'm feeling myself. And it was just sitting in here a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord spoke to me clearly about what our best kept secret is. And I said, okay, what do you mean? He said, well, you have everything within you, life and Jesus, and how many people know about that? Outside of this room. So I started looking at what does the gospel look like. And there were two things for me. The first always is love, love, love. God's heart for his people. What they're feeling. And us living out of the overflow of that love. And if we don't have that love, anything that we say to people has no weight. So 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but of not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. And endures all things. Love never fails. And that's challenging. That's always challenging me. And I look at, I'm talking about me because I can talk about me from experience. It's not because it's IRA. I hope that it's something that touches your hearts. And as I share the rest, I pray that you will receive conviction and not condemnation, because condemnation does not come from God. So I'm trying to do a better job in measuring up to what love looks like, so that when I pour stuff out to other people, it's out of a right motivation. And one of the things that I've noticed that you can slip into is becoming a professional Christian. And no, really, it's just, you know, I can turn up to church on Sunday and I preach and I listen to stuff all week. And, but what do I do with it? You know, it's just, if it's not coming out of me, it's not that it's not useless, because the word is always profitable for us and our bodies, but it's just, it's not meant to be just that. You know, I can turn up to church on Sunday, I could give a sermon, can lead a meeting, and you know, tick all the boxes. But there's another element that is, you know, I don't want to be a professional Christian. I want to be full of love, full of life, full of passion. And there are things that I've noticed have dulled in me through circumstances and things that I've allowed to come and make a difference in my life. And I've been really wanting to, oh Lord, I just want to feel like I did right in the beginning. And, but that hasn't gone anywhere. That is just, you know, it's morphed into a couple of things, you know, stuff that's got in the way, and, you know, I know how to do the stuff. So I just go on and do it, but I want to do it out of passion, not out of duty. So the other thing is to make his name great. It's our job description. You know, to be lovers and to make his name great. Malachi 1:11 says, from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, said the Lord of hosts. And Isaiah 12:4 says, and on that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his name, make his works known among the people. Declare that his name is exalted. Psalm 105:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the nations. So what should we do? How do we do that? You know, I'm really stirred up about this at the moment, and I was talking to Susie Brock when she was here, and said, you know, I feel fat. And, you know, not weight, but, you know, that could go as well. But I feel like I have this glut of stuff that, you know, I fed myself. And if it's not coming out, all it's doing is making me constipated. I thought about sharing that. And then when Mary shared about the Lancing and the pus yesterday, I thought, yeah, I'm gonna use that one. But God's natural process for us is to give us food, and we get nourishment for that, but it comes out. It's not meant to be, let me just sit here and fill myself up with stuff. And so when I was talking to Susie, I said, you know, I'm not bored of sermons, but I've got so much in me that I need to get it out, and we need to do that. You know, it's everything, the word is always profitable. But if I'm not putting it anywhere, then all I'm doing is just filling me up, and it's just, you know, I'm having a good old time. But who else is? You know, we need to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And it's like the gospel in action. What do? We stop for the one, being intentional, looking for who we can speak to. You know, Voon mentioned it on Wednesday. Where's she gone? She disappeared. We know how great she is at doing this, you know. And we all should be like that. Funi. And Funi mentioned on Wednesday night about having eyes to see and ears to hear what is going on with people. And, you know, if you could just say something that will make a difference in their lives. So this cool drink of water is what I needed when I didn't know God. I didn't know that I needed it. But my life was filthy. And I've been looking at this recently and I thought, why does a cup of water make me want to cry? Because it's living. It's living water that he gives us, and it's just, I don't want to keep this for myself. I want to give it to someone who needs it. See, a starving man will eat excrement if you don't feed him anything else. And that's what the world is like. They'll just eat everything that's around unless we give them the stuff, the knowledge that we have, the living water that we have. We have the words of life because we know him. You know, we see people in bondage and we are free and we carry the message that they need. People in pain, people in fear, people who are broken and poor. Why are we not helping them? How could you look at someone and not help them if they are in pain? If someone was bitten by a snake and you had the antidote, why would you withhold that? Or if someone is innocent, she's like, yeah. If someone innocent has been locked up and you've got the keys, why would you not open the door? When I was just sitting listening, these things were going through my head. And I don't want to be remembered for every church service that I turned up to. I want to be remembered for going out into the community and praying for the sick, introducing people to Jesus. And this thing went through my head. Did I tear a roof off to bring the sick to him? Did I go to a nation to spread the gospel? And, you know, that nation could be your neighborhood. Did I give a homeless man shelter? Did I give him my coat? Did I give him my goat? Do I sit in my house and congratulate myself on the things I have and what wealth I've accumulated? Do I pray for my neighbour, my friend? Is my home a soup kitchen for the poor? Can I lay a banquet for the needy? We are bankrupt of mercy if we have all those things and do nothing. And I tell you, this was conviction in my heart. It wasn't condemnation. And I know a lot of us are good people and we all do good stuff. But there's a measure where you can go the extra bit and actually seek people out and not just be someone that you happen to pass. And the main scripture that I had was Matthew 25. Have you got that, Pokong? I've got it here, I'll read it. So when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom. Kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. And he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, I find that a really powerful scripture. And really challenging. And I had to read it a few times. It's like, Lord, is this really what you're saying? I also looked at the sheep and goats. Thought, why are the sheep and goats separated? I know that goats are okay animals in the, like for eating. They're like kosher food. They're used for sacrifice. But why are they separated? And it was interesting when I looked it up. It's like sheep, they're gentle, quiet, easily led. Goats are pushy, self-sufficient and headstrong. The goats are naturally horned, but many sheep breeds are polled and naturally hornless. Sorry, I've copied this from Google. Those goat horns can be used to bring harm to another. And alas, goats are naturally quarrelsome and have short tempers. They rear and butt in order to establish dominance rather than being a passive animal like the sheep. They have more aggressive tendencies. And they don't require as much supervision or care as sheep because they're more independent, which I thought was really interesting. So sheep, quite happy being a sheep. We need a shepherd and we have him. We've got the ultimate shepherd. He leads us. And feeds us and protects us. So what are the things that hold us back? I think, what is the worst thing that can happen? If you sort that out in your mind. you know, mostly it's fear of what someone will say if you mention Jesus to them. I remember growing up hearing this term Bible bashing. I didn't come from a Christian household. But that term was still in my mind. It's like, you know, I don't want to be Bible bashing. What on earth is that? But it's not calling us to go and like preach, you know, hellfire and damnation. It's like we are the word. If we know the word and we know him and we're operating in his love, we are the word and we're bringing that to people. And then, you know, sometimes there is an opportunity to share a scripture as well. It says, don't study the Bible to preach yourself approved. Become the word. Thank you for that quote, John. We need to be givers and not static. And confess to the Lord when we're worried or we're in fear about stepping out. Because he says that I know all your needs and you have me. And there is strength in weakness. And there is, you know, when we're weak, we are strong because we have to rely on him. He has not given us a spirit of fear, of power, love and a sound mind. And we have that constant connection to the fountain that never runs dry. It doesn't burn out ever. So we don't have to worry about running out of things, because if we're in relationship with him, like we said earlier, with the love, you know, we're not clanging cymbals, but we have filled with his love, then that's the thing that comes out of the overflow. Be prepared to give an account for the hope that is within you. I remember years ago at Equipped to Lead, absolutely terrified when they said, what's his name, the evangelist? Can't think of his name now. It was someone who was speaking. It was one of our training days. That's it. Lawrence Singlehurst stood up there and he said, right, be prepared. And he said, I want you to stand up in 1 minute, give an account. And I was dumbfounded. Because we think we have to come up with all these great words and spout, you know, all this religion. But if you can share your personal relationship with the Lord, I can give an account. I can give an account. You can give an account because of all the things that he has done for you. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And I don't ever want to be ashamed of the gospel. But I know that I've walked down the road and walked past people that the Lord has actually spoken to me about. And not said anything. And that's partly, it's like, what would they say? What would they think if I tell them those things? You know? What does it matter? If you didn't have Jesus in your life right now, what would your life look like? If it wasn't for that one, there must have been one person at some point who said something to you that was it. For me, someone said something about the word. And it wasn't even a righteous person. So you haven't got to be clean, fixed up or everything out there. God's word will do what it's meant to do. And I thought, oh, that sounds like truth. I hadn't heard truth before. But then there was this truth, this drink of water that I want to drink that. I want to drink that because I want to feel clean. I want to feel that I belong. I want to feel loved. I want to feel safe. Two Timothy 4. Is in the presence of God. Oh. Have you got it from one? It's a different version, right? Okay. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I recently watched Paul the Apostle, the movie. And watching him recount his life to Luke in the film. And he's sending this message to Timothy that we've just read. And running the race, and Brian preached on that recently. I think that started to really convict my heart then. Because I look at him and I think, oh wow. You know, he was there in prison knowing that it was the end of his time, but he was able to say, I've been poured out like a drink offering and the time of my departure is now. And he was able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And I'm sure we all want to be able to say that at the end and not think, well, what about all those things that I could have done, should have done, could have, should have, would have. They're not good. They're excuses. Because to live a constant life of pouring out the gospel is inconvenient. And it's going to require you and I to step out into places that we're not always comfortable with. Heidi Baker is a quote from her. I love her, love her ministry. She always preaches about the one. You know, it's all the one that you can find. You don't have to go and preach to millions, just find the one. And she says, people don't want just to be told about love unless they can see and feel it. They don't want to just to hear about faith unless it changes something in their lives. Love is not an empty concept or theory. It looks like something tangible. And the world is hungry to know what that is. Radical love requires radical acts of faith to be meaningful. It is often inconvenient and interrupts our day. It pushes us to take risks we wouldn't normally have the courage to take. I think one of the most exciting adventures, spiritual adventures, is helping someone find God. It's what we were created for. It's not just to store it all up for ourselves and keep it and all. This is nice. It's to share. In Spirit Cafe, we teach closer or a closer. And if we can just draw someone a little bit closer and gradually introduce them to the one, that's great. If we can actually bring a real closer and lead them to the Lord, you know, that's fantastic. And sometimes it is a journey. But if you can keep bringing someone a little bit closer to the Lord and introducing who he is through who you are, it's simple. It's not complicated. You know, even the sinner's prayer. I used to be really fearful of that because somewhere in my mind I'd learned that I need to have all these things laid out and I need to make them pray this and pray that. But do you know what the sinner's prayer is? Lord, I know I've sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me all my sins, come into my heart, be Lord of my life and help me to live for you forever in Jesus' name. That's it. You know, there are lots of longer, complicated versions of that, but that's it in a nutshell. So can we just do it? I think I'm done. Do, be who we're meant to be. Oh no, yeah, I'm going to pray. Oh, Father, just I give you everything that's been said and anything that is not of you and has been me, let it drop away. But anything that's you, I pray that it will bring conviction and that it will cause us to strive more to be like you, to receive more of your love, to understand more of who you are so that we can take that to the people. And Father, forgive us for any times where we've even had an opportunity and we've not done that. We've walked past someone. I just pray that you help us be more brave. And I pray that you will bring inconvenience to our lives, that we will go out of our way to find the one. That we wouldn't just sit at home or sit here and wait for people to come. We would deliberately find them. And we ask you to just open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. Your word says, you know, he who has ears to hear. what you are saying. We want to hear what you are saying for that person. So we are saying Jesus' name. Amen.